buzzer has sounded. We are headed to overtime with William Pattison on Fox Sports Knoxville. This is Fan Run Radio.
And here we go. Hour number two on a Tuesday, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. It's overtime. William Pattison, Dawson Wise, Jace Brown, all joining you in studio. Red Sox and Braves set to have a first pitch at 7:20. We'll get you out to Atlanta here in a second. In the news with Dawson Wise coming up. But first, let's head to the phones. We've got Joshy Boy on the line. What's up, Joshy?
What's up, guys?
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Good. Not trying to look ahead or anything, but if it is Minnesota versus Boston in the finals, how do you think the T-Wolves would match up with Boston?
I think their physicality and length would pose, you know, a threat for sure. But, you know, the problem in that series and the reason why I think the Celtics are the team to beat is because they play five out. Kristaps Porzingis would be floating around the perimeter, basically taking Rudy Gobert out of the series because you need Towns out there on him. You know, for a guy that's mobile enough, and also, you know, the paint will be wide open. Rudy Gobert would really have no impact defensively. So I think the Celtics are still the best team. They've got a really good roster. Outside of their starting lineup, you've got Derek White, you've got Sam Hauser, two really good three-point shooters. They're a well-rounded group, and so is Minnesota. But I wouldn't, even if Minnesota beats the Nuggets, I wouldn't say they necessarily get past Dallas. Dallas has Derek Jones Jr. And P.J. Washington, two guys that can stay in front of Anthony Edwards. And I know the Nuggets have, you know, perimeter defenders as well, but I wouldn't put them. I wouldn't put them past the Mavericks just yet.
Yeah. So, what do you guys think about both games tonight, the Cavs and Celtics? I think Celtics do win tonight, probably in a blowout. And what do you guys think about game one tonight between Dallas and Oklahoma City?
Yeah, you know, we just did our best bets for these. I expect a pretty tough outing for Cleveland, especially after playing on Sunday in game seven. Boston's had plenty of rest. They're the far better team playing at home. If they're able to shoot the three ball well in this series, I don't think the Cavs have enough and their arsenal to be able to keep around with this Celtics team. So I think tonight should be a pretty convincing win for Boston. In the other game, Mavericks and Thunder, it really depends on how the Thunder come out. This is, you know, a very young team. Now they're in the second round where everything kind of tightens up a little bit. The stakes are higher. Now they're playing at home, which helps them out. But, you know, when you look on the other side, Dallas has guys that have been around the block before. Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, you know, Washington, Derek Jones Jr. Derek Lively's a rookie, but he doesn't play like one. They've got a veteran group up against a team that doesn't have much experience in this point in the season. Guys, anything to add?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page on this one.
It's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
All right, switching over to baseball, what do you guys think about the series this week against Vandy?
Well, I kind of talked about it a little bit yesterday when we were talking about, you know, the remaining schedule. Look, Vandy is not the Vandy of old. They're not the Titan Vandy that we're all used to that is number one in the country every year and winning championships every year. This is not that Vanderbilt team. Now, it is still Tim Corbin coaching Vanderbilt. He's still a good coach. That's still a good team. And this is still a good rivalry. So you cannot overlook anyone in the SEC. You especially can't overlook your in-state rival. Should be a great atmosphere this weekend, by the way. But, look, you can't overlook them. Pitching's got to be on point. The hitting's got to be better than it apparently has been so far tonight from what I've seen on social media, apparently. Lack of clutch hitting again tonight against Queens in our midweek game. You know, if you get the clutch hitting, if you get good pitching, should be looking at another pretty good series win for the Vols.
Yeah, Vols are rolling on seven straight wins over Vandy. I saw this earlier. So, I mean, you've got the leg up on that competition right there. But, you know, you're catching them at the right time. We saw them go down to Athens last weekend, and they got thumped pretty good. Charlie Condon and company really went to and took them behind the woodshed, if you would. So I think, you know, you're catching them sort of – on a downtrend right here. And, you know, I know you're having to go on the road, but still being able to, you know, still have some in-state folks roll over to Nashville, I think it's going to help. We know what happened last time the Vols went over to Vandy and finished with a sweep after, you know, the bat sticker fiasco that we saw and, you know, the emergence of Mike Honcho. But maybe some of those demons will again be exercised this year.
Yeah. Switching over to football, guys, before I get to my Tennessee question, do we know yet of this month when there's going to be a release date of the NCAA football games?
Yeah, it's next Thursday, I think, May 16th.
May 16th is the target date for the information there. I think we're expecting a trailer information and most likely a release date. I don't know if they'll do the cover
athletes.
I'm
getting pumped up, aren't you guys?
We're all ready. Yeah.
We were talking about it yesterday with some hypotheticals. I mean, you know, with all the different conference alignment stuff that Matt Brown has put out about it, and, you know, some of the guys are quote-unquote surprised to him. We threw around the name of James Pierce a little bit. I mean, how sick would it be to see him on the cover?
I'd be really sick. And out the door, guys. With my football question, who do you guys think statistic-wise has the better season, Nico or Shador Sanders? You have a good night.
You as well, Joshy. I had a feeling you're, I had a feeling you were going to ask about Shador Sanders when you said Nico and statistics. This is tough because Shador Sanders is a little bit more polished than Nico is. Nico is, you know, going to be a redshirt freshman this year, first big moment. Of playing SEC football. Shador Sanders has been around the block for a while. I think he's the more polished quarterback. I'd imagine he have better statistics because, I mean, last year Colorado wasn't bad because of Shador Sanders. They were bad because of the offensive line and their defense that, you know, couldn't defend a blind man. So I think that Shador will have the better statistics, but that's not saying, once again, and as I told you last week, that's not saying Nico will not be a better quarterback. Just one guy's played 5 years of college football already, 4 years, whatever, how many ever Sanders has played. One guy's played 4 to 5 years already. One guy's played one game. So I think Sanders is a little bit more polished, and I think he'll have a little bit better numbers next year. All right, got about 5 minutes here. We'll go to In the News with Dawson. Just a couple of just – we'll go with what you got, and you know we'll head out at 7:15.
The main one tonight, we can hold off the other ones, but the main one today is that it's official now. Free agent wide receiver Tyler Boyd has signed a one-year contract with the Tennessee Titans worth up to $4.5 million, a source told ESPN on Tuesday. The move reunites Boyd with Titans coach Brian Callahan, the offensive coordinator in Cincinnati since 2019, before accepting the Titans job the offseason. Boyd will join a receiver room that continues to grow. Fellow free agent signing Calvin Ridley, who signed a four-year $92 million deal in March. DeAndre Hopkins and 2022 first-round pick Treylon Burks, whose future in Nashville has been a topic of conversation this offseason. Callahan has mentioned the slot as a potential weakness for the Titans offense in 2024. He said, quote, "We have to have someone emerge for us at the slot position when we're in 11 personnel. You need depth at every position. Guys that are fast, explosive, and physical, you can't have enough of them." Having previous experience playing in the slot under Brian Callahan, Boyd should fit right into that slot in Tennessee. He started 13 of his 17 appearances last season, his eighth with the Bengals, finished with 67 catches for 667 yards and 2 touchdowns. He ranks sixth in Bengals franchise history in receiving yards with 6,000, fourth in receptions with 513, and has added on 31 touchdowns. He was a key part of the Bengals turnaround and rebuild, and one of just four holdouts with Zach Taylor after he was hired in 2019. He led the team in receptions from 2018 to 2020 and was also a steadying locker room presence to help in developing stars Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. The Titans needed another receiver, in my opinion. They get Calvin Ridley this offseason. Now you go and get Tyler Boyd, and this all of a sudden has gone from, okay, well, if Hopkins and Burks get hurt, they're screwed, for lack of a better term, to you've got a ton of depth now, and you've got proven guys. Calvin Ridley's been there, done that. Now, did you overpay a little bit? Yes, we've talked about that. Tyler Boyd, you only give $4.5 million, and he's been very reliable.
Yeah.
I think this is great value, number one, for a guy that you're going to get to fill a spot that, admittedly, they needed. And you know, DeAndre Hopkins isn't getting any younger. Treylon Burks isn't able to stay on the field. So now you pick up two guys that have been able to stay on the field and have been able to prove it. Big signing for the Titans, in my opinion, and you get a guy that's familiar with Brian Callahan's offensive style. that's going to be huge. And he kind of steadies that room a little bit as well. And is able to work with Will Levis as well, your young quarterback. You want to be able to instill that system in him. Go get a receiver that's played with Joe Burrow and Brian Callahan in Cincinnati, and that'll work just fine. Is this a good move for the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, my blueprint of how to give a rookie or second-year quarterback the best opportunity is first get an offensive line. You go get a guy in J.C. Latham. You add a guy in Bill Callahan as a coach that's had plenty of success as an offensive lineman coach. And you add some weapons, and they've got that now. You know, Calvin Ridley I thought was a big addition, in addition to DeAndre Hopkins. Now you've got three starters. You got a concrete wide receiver 1, 2, and 3. And Boyd kind of, you know, fell out of the mix with all the talent that the Bengals have, but Boyd is a really good receiver. I mean, for a wide receiver 3, that's right on par with about what the rest of the league has. So Boyd gives you a reliable target, a guy that's familiar with the coach, and gives Will Levis the opportunity to be able to have at least a competent offensive roster. You know, match him with Ty-J Spears, a guy that I think will have a really big year this year. This is a good, not a good roster, but this is a improved roster from where they were last year. And you got to compliment Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan and what they've done in an offseason to kind of totally retool this thing from last year with Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry being the superstars to now we're buying in with Will Levis and we're going to give this guy an opportunity to prove it.
I think bringing a guy that's sort of familiar with Brian Callahan's system is a really big plus at that. I mean, you're likely going to see him slot in, like you said, towards that wide receiver 3 spot. But, you know, with that, you're getting some experience under the new head coach there. So I think bringing a guy that has some knowledge about the playbook, maybe an idea of how things run under him, I think that's going to be a positive not only on the field but also in the locker room. You've got a little bit of rapport already. I think that's going to roll over really well. It's really adding to sort of a decent little group of weapons around Will Levis. Like we said, D-Hop has been out there. They signed Calvin Ridley. They still have Treylon Burks, who we still haven't seen a full healthy season from. Would really like to see that soon. You also added a guy like Tony Pollard that's still, you know, a running back that can get the job done. Might not be the flashiest guy anymore, but it still has the ability to, you know, run pretty well and also can be a weapon through the air as well. So I think, you know, adding to the weaponry, the arsenal that you have for Will Levis, I think it's even more of a positive.
Yeah, I saw yesterday, just scrolling through Twitter, FanDuel released their power rankings. I don't know why FanDuel's doing that, but they had Tennessee the Titans, I should say, if we're doing it in Knoxville, the Titans as the worst team in the league next year, and I firmly disagree with that. I think the Panthers roster's worse. Yeah. I think the Patriots roster's worse. Yeah. I mean, it goes Panthers, Patriots, and then, you know, you can go up 2 flights of stairs, and then you can talk about the other teams because the Panthers and Patriots have terrible rosters. Mm. So I think this makes the Titans, you know, a top 27, 26 team in the league next year. I think it's a good move. You really just got to roll with Will Levis and see what he can give you, you know. But I think this is a big year for them and an opportunity to kind of go through a trial of, okay, if you're going to be our quarterback, here are 3 competent receivers. We're working on the offensive line. You've got a veteran running back and a rookie, or I guess second-year running back that's very elusive and dynamic. What can you do? I think it's a good opportunity for Levis, and I think it's a good job by the Titans of giving him that so that they can make a decision of if this guy's the option for the future. That's in the news with Dawson Wise. Great stuff as always. Getting ready for the Braves and Red Sox, set for a first pitch at 7:20 in Atlanta. Ronaldo Lopez on the mound. The Braves are looking to bounce back after a 5-1 loss to the Dodgers the other night.
Slumping badly right now, 4-6 in our last 10.
Hopefully you have some home cooking after a tough road trip, looking to bounce back tonight. We'll send you to Atlanta, and we'll see you once again on Overtime tomorrow.